We are in the month of November, and I wanted to talk during this time about a very important subject, about the holy souls in purgatory and how much they need our help. There was a story once in a book about a priest who was traveling to Rome, and he ran into a bishop, and they fell into conversation, and the bishop asked the priest if he mentioned the names of his family and friends who were deceased when he was saying Mass. And the priest said, "Well, certainly, of course I do." And the bishop said, "I used to do that too, but only once in a while. But then one day I became very sick, and I was so sick that the doctors expected that I was going to die, and I received extreme unction and holy viaticum." He said that at that moment, he looked back over his past life and he saw all of the failings and the sins he had committed up until that point. They came before his mind's eye with a terrifying clarity. And he realized how much he had to atone for and how few masses and prayers would be said for him after he died. And he said, ever since that terrifying moment, of course he had gotten better since then, and ever since then he had been very zealous in offering the holy sacrifice for the souls in purgatory whenever he was able to. It completely changed his perspective on that. And it's very true, we very quickly forget about the souls in purgatory. When a loved one dies, one of our family or friends, We forget very quickly, that's human nature, and we eventually give up offering prayers and sacrifices and masses for them only a short time after they die. It really is sad that all of us go about our daily lives and we assume sometimes, maybe unconsciously, that someone that we knew and loved in this life has probably already finished their time in purgatory. Because we consider that they were good people in life, and we've already said a lot of prayers for them, maybe, and we tend to think that probably by now our job is done. But the example of the saints is very different from that, and it's actually a terrible warning for us that we might be abandoning people, the people that we love the most, if we follow that course of reasoning. The Venerable Sister Catherine Paluzzi found herself in that situation once. Her father died, and for a long time she offered up many fervent prayers and good works for the repose of his soul. And eventually she thought that by that time he was probably in heaven. But one day our Lord came and appeared to her, along with Saint Catherine of Siena, her patron saint. And they brought her into purgatory and they showed her father suffering terrible torments and asking for her prayers. So, of course, she was terribly shocked by this. And she asked our Lord for mercy for her father. And she told our Lord to give her all of the punishment that her father deserved. And she said she would be willing to suffer whatever it was that was necessary to set him free from purgatory. And this was a very heroic act. And our Lord was very pleased, and he accepted her offer. And he immediately released her father's soul from purgatory, but this poor sister had to suffer many terrible trials for the rest of her life in payment of her father's debt. Now let us remember that this sister was a very holy person. In fact, she is a venerable, which means she was a candidate for canonization. She was at the height of sanctity, and her prayers are worth far more in the sight of God than ours would be. And she had prayed probably with greater fervor than we have ever prayed for anything in our lives. So if anyone had reason to think that her prayers had released someone from purgatory, it would surely be her. And yet she was wrong. So for a much greater reason, we should never assume that our prayers have released someone from purgatory. Even if someone lived a good and virtuous life in this world, they are still required to be perfect saints before they can enter heaven. In the Apocalypse, St. John says, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that nothing defiled can enter the heavenly Jerusalem, which is heaven. And all of us become so defiled in our journey through life that we have a lot that we need to cleanse from our souls when we die. There's a story about St. Severinus, who is the Archbishop of Cologne in Germany, who was such a holy man that God gave him the gift of miracles. One day after his death, he appeared to one of the priests of his cathedral, and he showed him that he was suffering excruciating pain. And the priest asked him why he was suffering so much when he had been so holy in this life. The priest couldn't believe that he was in purgatory. And the bishop said, "I suffer this torment merely for having recited the canonical hours hurriedly and with willful distraction." So even a small defect in his prayers was enough to earn him time in purgatory. Imagine how much greater our guilt is when we go out even looking for grievous sins to commit. And even if we repent, how much time will we spend for that in purgatory? In the life of St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, we read that one day she saw the soul of one of her deceased fellow sisters kneeling to adore the Blessed Sacrament in the church of her convent. And she was surrounded with flames and was suffering terrible pain. In order to expiate the negligence that she had had in receiving Holy Communion, because she had had opportunities to receive Holy Communion that she had not taken advantage of. So these two examples, or three examples, really tell us the level of perfection that God expects someone to have before they're released from purgatory. And how much prayer it must take to cleanse someone who lived just an ordinary Catholic life. If we go through life committing numerous venial sins, and even have committed many mortal sins in our lifetime that we have confessed with only imperfect contrition, if we've even maybe spent a good part of our lives in the state of sin, then we have a lot of reparation we have to make to God. And what little penance we do in this life, unfortunately, we know that. The Venerable Bede wrote in his writings that it was revealed to a holy man named Drithelm that the souls of people who spend their whole lives in mortal sin and only repent on their deathbed are doomed to suffer the pains of purgatory until the last judgment. Another example is in the life of St. Vincent Ferrer. When his sister died, he offered numerous prayers and acts of penance for the repose of her soul, and even said a series of Gregorian Masses for her. That's 30 Masses said in a row on 30 consecutive days, and it was revealed to St. Gregory the Great that this devotion had a special power to help the souls in purgatory. So St. Vincent Ferrer did that for his sister. And at the end of that series of Masses, God revealed to him that if it hadn't been for his prayers and good works, the soul of his sister would have been in purgatory until the end of the world. So all of these things show us that the judgments of God are very different from our judgments. God says in Scripture, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways. For as the heavens are exalted above the earth, So are my ways exalted above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. That's in Isaiah. That means that we can't even imagine the holiness and the wisdom of God. Now, the reason for the severity of God's judgments is found in three things: His infinite sanctity, His justice, and His love. So let's look at these one at a time. First of all, God's perfect sanctity requires that a person atone for any guilt they have before they enter heaven. God can't admit anyone with the least stain into heaven. And then secondly, God's justice also requires Him to punish souls severely, because every sin is a terrible offense against God's holiness and His majesty. God is the creator of the whole universe. He's our creator. We owe Him perfect obedience to all of His commandments. And when we commit sin, we are rebelling against Him. We are refusing to recognize His dominion over us, and we're offending Him at the same time. This is a very serious thing, and God takes it very seriously, and we should too. And thirdly, God's infinite love requires Him to punish sin severely too, because God wants to see the souls of the saints pure and beautiful. So He purifies them from every stain they have until they truly reflect His image, until they truly become an image of God, as they were created to be and as they are supposed to be. God does not enjoy seeing the souls of the just suffer in purgatory, but He sees this purification as a necessary means to make the soul atone for the evil it has done so that it will be pure enough to deserve to enter heaven. As soon as a soul has departed this life, it is given an understanding of the beauty and the perfection of God. And it understands God's infinite perfection so well that it is consumed with a desire to see God and to possess Him. It is drawn towards God by a powerful impulse. It can't imagine ever loving anything except God. But as soon as it tries to unite itself to God, it realizes that it can't be in God's presence because it has offended God and it has not made atonement for its sins. And God rejects this soul temporarily, but He sends it to purgatory so that it can cleanse that guilt that is remaining on it. And this separation from God as a result of being in purgatory along with the pains of fire is what purify the soul. There's a story about a Capuchin brother who was a very pious man who appeared after he died to one of his fellow monks. And he asked him to get the community to pray for him. And he said, "I don't know how much longer I can bear the pain of being deprived of God. I will be the most unhappy of all creatures as long as I remain in this state. Would that everyone could understand what it is to be without God, so that they would be willing to suffer anything in this life to avoid sin, rather than endure this pain in the next." But at the same time, let us thank God that in His mercy He has given us the means to help these poor souls, and also has told us that if we help the souls in purgatory while we can in this life, that He would apply the prayers and sacrifices of others to us when we are in purgatory. Let us offer prayers and masses and good works for the souls in purgatory, and also let us bear with patience the trials of this life and offer them in atonement for our sins. We tend to think when something bad happens to us that it's just bad luck, or it's maybe the result of our own foolishness or our own mistake. we don't tend to see it as coming from the hand of God. But we shouldn't think that way. We should see the misfortunes of this life as opportunities that God has given us to atone for our time in purgatory. If we have that attitude as we go through life and remember that life is short and we have to do all that we can to help the poor souls now, and if we keep busy and stay away from sin and be faithful to our prayers, then our own time in purgatory will be short and merciful. And then soon we also will enjoy an eternal reward. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.